We're the third highest suicide rate in Cornwall, where I'm from.
Oh my word, the third highest
in the UK. It's not just the person that leaves, it's the devastation to the families and friends behind. And we see that coming into the meetings. So I'll sing, you know, mental health, you know, to the highest rafters for as long as I can. And I don't get bored of hearing myself say it, because I've seen men very close to not being here. And I've known men commit suicide, and I've seen what's left behind.
You skipped out on the booking systems that everyone seems to have lamped into.
Yeah, because I like people to be there for 2 hours waiting, because they can talk about boxing, football, women, you know, best beaches to go to. 2 years ago, I was 14 stone, fat, out of breath. I was just cutting hair all the time.
Yep.
Now I'm 10 stone, and I've had 4 fights back. Lost 2, won 2.
Well done.
This December, I fight a guy from Miami, Derek Diablo. He's coming over to fight me, and we're going to get it on in a boxing ring. That'll be my 5th fight back.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi there, I'm Anthony Laban, and this is another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm here today with Clint Osborne from Clint's Barbershop in St Austell.
Got it right.
I think you're probably the most mileage guest. I really appreciate you making the journey, buddy.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the couch. Thanks for coming along. I mean, we've kind of nearly spoken several times. We've been doing this now a year, and I guess it's probably most of the year we've Instagram messaged. We've been trying to get together. Mm. So I'm really pleased we've made it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
If you could give us a little intro of, you know, how your entrance into barbering and then obviously your first barbershop experience.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, from Mevagissi to here on this, what's becoming a famous couch now is just an absolute dream come true.
Thank you.
You know, it's fantastic to give back to the barbering industry that's gave me so much over 32 years now. So it's just wonderful to come to the Big Smoke and sit down on this couch with you.
Thank you.
But it all started, you know, like I say, 32 years ago, 1992. My brother got a barbershop there in Cornwall, in Colville in Leicestershire.
Right.
I became a barber with him. And then a few years later, I got a bigger setup where it was more of a barber salon. So in the mid-noughties, 2003, 2004, I got this massive property, sunbeds, ladies' hairdressers, treatment rooms, and a barber's downstairs. And we're all, you know, waistcoated up, looking very smart in this small coal mining community.
Wow.
And, you know, I was very busy with that and very successful. And it was absolutely fantastic because it gave young people from hairdressing a chance to get into barbering. And it was just fantastic. It was great to be there. And then a few years after that, 12 years ago now, sold all that, moved to Cornwall, put a vest on, put some flip-flops on, shorts, and started cutting hair down there in Cornwall. So threw all that away, all the uniforms, and just went very casual with it.
Cool. I mean, I think that's the bit. I think everyone now feels that kind of, I guess the term has become kind of modern barbering. Everyone thinks of it as a kind of, as 10 or 2 years old. It seems like it kind of started emerging 2013, 14, something like that. But, you know, there was a group of barbers who were already separating from that pack a decade or so before that, obviously yourself, that were looking at approaching it in a different way, that it wasn't such a kind of spit and sawdust, you know, how do you want your hair shorter? There you go, bye. And we're offering that service, that approach, that kind of decorum, if you like.
Mm.
So that was, you wouldn't have thought that would have worked in a, at that stage,
absolutely,
a fairly depleted northern mining town. You'd have thought you were setting it up in the worst place possible, but it worked obviously for
you. It really did. I remember, you know, some words from my father ring quite true. Give them as much for their money as you can, son.
Mm.
And we did that, and I continue to do that today.
A nice one. So you relinquished that. Did the company carry on after you sold it? Did it?
I sold it. Yeah, it carried on as a hairdresser's and a barbershop, I believe. The guy that actually owned the property bought the business off of me. So he carried on with it.
Nice one. And then a complete turnaround. So you've gone from buttoned up and waistcoated to surfer dude and sand under your toes.
Yeah, it's amazing because I used to, get people to cover up their tattoos.
Right.
In the previous business, up country in Leicestershire, put some plaster over their earrings.
Oh, okay.
And I was very, very strict.
Very strict.
Brand new car on the back of the business. Thought I was the bee's knees in my 30s with this wonderful barbering company that I had. And then obviously to throw all that away, literally, and go down and move to Cornwall for a better life with my children.
Mm. Oh, fantastic. Well, that's, I guess you came to my notice for 2 points, obviously. One was the reinvention of your boxing career, which we'll get to. And secondly, I guess on a bigger level, was the kind of man down ambassador and your work with that. Mm. And obviously we've spoken previously about, it coming from quite a kind of personal incident in your world. And that, like you say, you're riding high in your 30s and you're blasting it and you're having a great old time, proper rock star, loving it.
Yeah.
And then obviously things started changing.
Yeah.
And I think with barbershop ownership, I find it and have found it over the years, business kicks the crap out of you sometimes, and it really does. And it's hard. I still find it difficult. There are still moments. I'm very lucky. I've got a great network of team that work with me and my long-suffering missus, so that I don't go completely insane with it. But it is stressful. And there's a lot of younger guys out there that are starting up amazing businesses with a lot of pressure and a lot of stress on them, that you do worry about everyone's mental health and how it runs down. So that was why I really thought, Man Down's an amazing charity that's changing and growing. Well, sadly growing or fortunately growing. Yeah. I don't know which way is the right term.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it more.
Sure.
Did Man Down come from working in the barbers and the communication with other guys that are missing, being able to open up and drop the alpha? We were talking about the kind of alpha male mindset. How did Man Down happen for you?
We started about 5 years ago with Man Down. The concept was thought of by Ross Jackson Hicks down there in Falmouth.
Right.
And I was one of the first facilitators to grab hold of it and run with it. And, I've had 32 guys sitting around in my barbershop, very desperate, very worried, very upset about their own personal situations. And, by coming together as a group in the barbershop, they've lifted each other and gone on and then become facilitators, then got their act together and carried on with their life. We're talking about very suicidal men, some very, worried chaps in the community, and they've managed to get themselves going again by other positive men lifting them. It's absolutely magical to see and be part of it. It brings a tear to my eye just thinking about it. I've gone on to then get into the boxing. I go into a boxing ring and I stand there with the microphone and I signpost guys to these meetings and I tell them about my journey and how they can pass on to people who are struggling within their group, their family. They can come to the meetings and get help. And it's a wonderful snowball effect. And then people give money to us to help carry on the meetings. I go into the workplace and talk about mental health. And, it's regenerated me. It's made me born again.
Yeah.
Being so low in the darkness and contemplating on not being here at one time, it's literally got me going again. And that becomes infectious because you want people to carry on that journey with you and get themselves going again.
Yeah, obviously, I'm sorry you found yourself in such a horrible place. And
wasn't too good for a bit.
I'm very pleased you're still here, buddy.
Yeah.
But as you said before, there wasn't really kind of that, you didn't feel you had that network around
Nothing.
You.
Yeah.
That there wasn't anyone throwing you a safety line, which is why you found yourself so close to the, close to the edge.
Mm.
Was that tied up with shutting down the barber shop? Was that was that personal family stuff? Was it other stuff that led you into that place?
Yeah, I myself had a marriage breakdown. I didn't see my children for 3 years. Right. And, you know, having thought that I'd lost everything, I didn't want to be around anymore. And I was ready to check out. And that was going to be me finished. But, you know, fortunately, I managed to literally grab myself from the edge, reinvent myself again and get going again. So, you know, and here I am today spreading that message to keep punching. That's my slogan, keep punching.
Yeah, no, amazing. Know. Well, I mean, I think that's what always concerns me, that, you know, we hear about the level of suicide amongst, you know, I mean, the biggest killer of men under 50 is suicide, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I understand the stresses and strains that can get to you. And it always worries me that we have such, as men and as businesses, we feel that kind of, I mean, I would have said almost every, wouldn't you, Luke? Every member that's been on here at some point has used the phrase imposter syndrome, that we're kind of all kind of dialed into, like, I don't really know how to do this, I'm blagging it. That when you hit a bump, that bump can feel so dramatic that you're still trying to keep this facade of, no, I'm fine. And inside you're in bits, you know, to not have to get to the place you were in and be able to ask for help is the key, surely.
Yeah. With the third highest suicide rate in Cornwall, where I'm from,
third highest
in the UK, you know, we've got men, we're losing them in the community and we don't need to be losing them.
No.
And, you know, with 32 meetings in the county, I believe we're completely different to any other county in the UK because we've come together as a community to save our men from checking out and committing suicide. It's not just the person that leaves, it's the devastation to the families and friends behind. And we see that coming into the meetings. So, you know, I'll sing, you know, mental health, you know, to the highest rafters for as long as I can. And I don't get bored of hearing myself say it because I've seen men very close to not being here and I've known men commit suicide and I've seen what's left behind. So we don't want that. We don't want that in our community.
And I think, I mean, I shut my, you know, I was kind of, I guess, forced to really, to shut my initial business down in 2011, 2012. And it did feel like, yeah, in the year leading up to it, it did feel like my world was coming to an end. And it was tough, you know, and I definitely felt the pressure of failure and what I was doing. And it was a really, really difficult time. I'm very fortunate that, you know, my network around me don't allow me to be too alpha. And so I managed to be able to let it out and break down and in a safe way get through it. And the biggie that I keep saying is on the other side of shutting my business down, which felt like the end of the world, was amazing. Almost days after shutting it down, I'm like, why didn't I do that before? Why have I put myself through so much pressure? And you've done exactly that plus in the fact that you completely moved from, well, not quite one end of the country to the other, but a completely different place. You came away from your whole network and obviously so you could be near your kids. Yeah. How was it arriving in a whole new place and then still setting up another business and going again?
It was challenging.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, is there going to be people in Cornwall that want a haircut because they're all surfers and got longer length hair?
Yeah.
And I'm a barber. I don't cut long hair. How will I survive down there? So there was all these worries, but, you know, the world is changing. There's people are people wherever you go. And, you know, if you're a personable person, with a bit of character about you, people, you'll find your customers, as you know, you find your customers.
Yeah.
Customers are out there. You don't own customers. People come when they want to you.
Yeah.
You can get very excited about being a barber in your 30s because you think, you know, you're the best barber in the world and that's your customer. You've got to lose that bravado and you've got to just, you know, be available to people when they need you. And it's not rocket science, this game. It's a fantastic business to be in. You know, get one-on-one with your customers, with your clients, and you'll have customers for life.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic trade to be in, as you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what I've certainly discovered that barbershops now are certainly taking, you know, I guess more of a leaf from the kind of salon life in the fact that we're seeing that kind of real link, barbers being seen as, you know, friends that very much part of the community again. You know, I've always called myself a shopkeeper. I've never felt comfortable as, you know, stylist or barber or hairdresser. I've never liked those titles. You know, I've essentially, you know, owned my own business since I was 22, and that was a while ago now. And so I see myself as a shopkeeper. And the more you are in that community, the more you're engaged with everyone, the more important your business becomes to the area.
But we need to be a community hub. We need to be that, especially in rural areas like Cornwall, because we get people that are working from home now that don't usually see people, people that are moving into the area new. They need to come in and feel very welcome and very happy, you know, being there. And, you know, by it being a walk-in barbers, I'll always continue to keep it.
So you skipped out on the whole
The
booking systems that everyone seems to have lamped into.
Because I like people to be there for 2 hours waiting, because they can talk about boxing, football, women, you know, best beaches to go to. We don't moan about the dustbins not being emptied for 2 weeks like I did when I was in Leicester. We moan about the bloody seals coming in and nicking the fisherman's fish.
Love it.
You know, or there's some dolphin or tuna been spotted.
Do you see a big difference though in the way you're running this store?
It's very casual. It's very casual compared to what I was doing before.
And I mean, I always think of the kind of, you know, you get the idea of a mining town, of very kind of buttoned up people, not express. I'm generalizing. I do apologize, but that's the perception of you know, men's men of, you know, not opening up. Do you think it's your approach has changed that means that your store is more open and available for chat, or do you think just guys in general are a bit more open to share? And
guys are changing now. Guys are definitely changing. A lot of young guys are struggling to communicate because they've grew up in a different world to what we did.
A lot of online, a lot of working from home, a lot of culture.
I'd end up talking to you. You know, we'd be best mates after 10 minutes. You'd be coming down to Mevagissey to stop with me. But younger guys are different these days, which is not a problem. They're meeting each other in gymnasiums, in coffee bars. They're not bouncing around the town like we used to. You know, it's a completely different era we're growing up in right now.
I mean, you're saying that, and a nice little segue into the other side of what you're up to. You know, when I was a kid, we boxed. You know, there were boxing. You know, we didn't have lovely gyms. You know, and you know, what we had was boxing gyms. And they'd have a few old boys there that, you know, had very few not broken bones, who would stand there and teach kids how to jab and go from that. And I wasn't good. You know, I was obviously way too worried about ruining this pretty face of mine. But really loved that mindset and the mentality and the kind of the camaraderie that you'd, you know, you'd be knocking bells out of each other in a spar and then immediately, you know, chatting away and having a laugh afterwards. It was a very kind of human experience at a young age. You're seeing more of those coming back, I think. I'm seeing, you know, more and more boxing gyms arriving. I mean, I've not tried them, but presumably the culture is different than it was when I was a nipper, or is it much the same?
It's changed now. There's a lot of women in boxing. And the gyms have literally had to open the doors up to women. So they've become very, you know, very good places to be now. They're very clean and tidy. As you've just said previously, there was sweat and sawdust. The gloves stunk. You wouldn't want to put them on. There was no showers. They were old Victorian places, you know, and some of them still are Victorian looking. They're fantastic places. They've been there for years in the community. But there's a lot more places open now. They do martial arts as well, alongside boxing. They're very open. But as you know, with boxing, you know, barbering has gone alongside of it. You go in any barber shop and there's a picture of a boxer in it, or or they follow boxing or football as you do. I'm a Leicester City fan, by the way.
Queen's Park Rangers. We all carry our crosses.
But no, boxing's always gone alongside barber shops. And a lot of the young barbers now are challenging themselves in a boxing ring. We're seeing, you know, barbers and boxing, you know, barbers challenging other barbers at boxing.
Yeah, it's definitely happening.
And it's fantastic to see the younger guys getting out there, challenging themselves, getting themselves fit. Because, as you know, after a few years behind the chair, you can let yourself go.
Yeah.
You give yourself to your family, you give yourself to the business. I myself, 2 years ago, I was 14 stone, fat, out of breath, and, you know, I was just cutting hair all the time.
Yeah.
Now I'm 10 stone, and I've had 4 fights back, lost 2, won 2.
Well done.
This December, I fight a guy from Miami, Derek Diablo, is coming over to fight me, and we're going to get it on in a boxing ring. That'll be my 5th fight back. So, wow. You know, you can
And are you coordinating? Are you promoting them yourself? I see you do quite a lot of promoting and a lot of stuff with other boxers.
Yes, I do.
So you set these fights up, you sell the tickets, so you do the lot, or are you working with a promoter alongside?
I'm working with a promoter on this particular fight, but I'm self-promoting as he is. We've both got YouTube channels. Cool. We're both on Instagram. We're fighting for an influencer's title in Plymouth.
Excellent.
And, you know, we're fighting for a belt. And, you know, the challenge is now to get myself as fit as I can, 68 kg, and, you know, have a fight with this guy. There's some real beef with us because he's said a few bad things. I've said a few bad things. It started off quite nice. But now it's laid down before us. I really want to beat this guy. And I want to hurt him. I want to hurt him in a boxing ring, and I want to take his head off.
Right.
So I want to get up every morning.
Do you think as the fitness gone alongside the kind of mental health world that you inhabit now, or is that just naturally you just felt like you were getting fat and old?
No. Well, I wanted to have a fight.
Right.
You know, because I'd never had a fight before. I'd always boxed in the gyms and always kept myself right in the early 90s and as a kid. But I'd never actually had a fight because I'd got married, got children, businesses, and I'd never had a fight.
Right.
And I always loved to talk about boxing, and I'd never done it. So, you know, 2 years ago, I decided that I was going to sell 500 tickets, put a big marquee up in the quiet little village of Mevagissey, and put a big show on, and we did that. We did that.
Amazing. So do you train yourself, or have you got someone to train you?
I train down in Penzance from Ronin Boxing Club.
Right.
And there's a great guy down there, Troy. I have a personal trainer as well. I'm 5 years sober. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't take drugs. You know, I'm very clean these days.
Cool.
And I've
reinvented myself. Was that something that was in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. In the 90s, totally off my head. You know, cocaine, ecstasy, you know, Ibiza, you know, thinking I was going to live forever. And, you know, I've managed to, you know, survive all of that and reinvent myself now in my 50s and keep going. And I'm sure this resonates with a lot of listeners because you can spend 10 years, another 10 years, another 10 years behind the chair, and you give so much. And then you're looking at yourself every day in that mirror and you've got to like what's looking back at you.
Yeah.
And if you start to dislike what you're looking at, you need to make a change. And you need to get up off the couch like this and you need to get out there because, you know, you should take a lesson from some of these young guys coming in. You know, they keep themselves very fit and healthy. Yeah. And you should be doing it as well because, you know, we might not have the day after tomorrow. So we need to get right today, you know, and keep each other going.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's it. We spend a lot of time talking, and there's a lot of, great young guys that are coming into the industry and there's a lot of great new young companies going out there. But, you know, us old boys have lived it and been there. And I think we're about the same sort of age. Let's not press it too hard, but we're in that ballpark together, I think. And I do think, the one thing I hear from younger guys is wanting a kind of work-life balance and they're wanting it, wanting it to be more balanced and trying to kind of weigh that up with running a company and standing behind the chair. And like we say, you know, the kind of mental health and family and all the other bits that go with it. And I think that juggling can be the thing that tips you over the edge sometimes. Yeah.
You shouldn't let the business control you. You should be controlling the business. Mm. And at sometimes in our careers as barbers, we really feel like we've got hold of it. And as you said, the work-life balance, we feel like we've got it sometimes.
Yeah.
And then we can lose it as quickly as we thought we'd got it sorted. But you really need to keep yourself fit and healthy. So when you do get that wobble in the road, whether it be business or personal life, you need to be physically fit. Yeah. If you're physically fit, then your mental health fitness will go from that. And you get yourself fit, you feel so strong, you feel so healthy, you feel invincible. When I jump in a boxing ring now, I feel I can fight the world. I feel the strongest I ever have. And it's a great feeling to have.
No, that's amazing. And as you said, you got a couple of new hips now, didn't you say?
Yeah, I've had two full hip replacements, two rotator cuff surgeries.
You're the last person that should be getting in the ring, but you're
absolutely
loving it.
Well, they called me the bionic boxing barber, and that's stuck. And I really feel bionic when I'm out there challenging myself in a boxing ring.
Yeah, and I think that's the key word that since we've kind of been in contact is that challenge that you've put yourself through.
Yeah.
With everything that had happened and everything that had gone on with you, that it would have been quite a happy life, I guess, to have gone off cutting a bit of hair behind the chair in Cornwall, relaxed, enjoying, just have a very mellow wind down.
Yeah.
To kind of go full reinvention. And, you know, I speak to so many companies and so many guys that have had an amazing journey who have gone dry or have stopped drinking because it does fog things up.
Yeah.
But for you to go for such a kind of reinvention, but at the core of it, your barbering sticks with you.
Yeah.
Reinvented again, would you still go for barbering, or would you choose as a do-over? Yeah. If you weren't barbering, what would be the career you'd choose?
If I wasn't a barber, I would be an inmate. I would have been in prison.
Do you think it would have done you?
Absolutely, because I was going one way. And that was trouble all the time.
Right.
You know, I was looking for a long stretch when I was about 17, 18 years old.
Wow.
And I was very lucky not to have gone down that road. So I've really been very, very lucky that this job has kept me on the straight and narrow.
Wow.
As I'm sure it has a lot of people listening, because it's a good game. It anchors you down. Mm-hmm. And if you work a full week, you know, you're not getting into trouble. If you're getting off your head, coked up, and there's a lot of lads out there, there's a lot of bravado, they go out at weekends and they get on it in their 30s and 40s, and sometimes even older than that, people are getting on it, but they get themselves right for Monday morning and they keep barbering, and it keeps them on the straight and narrow. And I would suggest to anybody out there, if you think, you know, you're pushing yourself too much with doing things you shouldn't be doing, there is another pathway. You can choose to change right now and make life better for yourself and everybody around you.
Yeah.
You can do it. I'm living proof.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, amazing. Well done. Yeah, no, we met the two guys that are running the training barbers in prison, aren't they? who were a great pair of lads. And saying exactly that these are guys that have, you know, not malicious people, but just from their upbringing or their kind of influences around, they ended up getting themselves in all kinds of trouble, have ended up inside, and they're going back out. They're coming back out being rehabilitated via barbering.
Mm.
So it's amazing the kind of places that our industry does tap into.
Yeah, yeah. I've noticed a few people on the show have spoke about bookings and the way, obviously, bookings have changed the industry. And that's fine. A lot of people have gone with that and they've been very successful with it. A lot of people in the industry tend to do big shout outs on social media to people that let them down with their bookings.
Yep.
And they sort of out them because they haven't turned up. And that's just not what you should be doing as a business. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be working around other ways to find out why they haven't come at the booking or different times, or work with them, because it's so easy to be, you know, pissed off at people because they've cost me 40 quid today, 100 over the month it's cost me because of these bookings that haven't turned up. You don't do that. You don't do that. You know, customers are very dear to you and you should look after them. So, you know, treat your customers very, very well.
But you've really stayed away from the online booking.
Yeah.
So you've escaped that completely.
Yeah.
And your barbershop queue is still as healthy as ever, and everyone's very happily, because I still miss that. We're fully online booking.
That.
Yeah. And it's still something I miss. You know, I'd find ourselves in there and, you know, we'd still be cutting air. You know, it'd be coming up to 8:30. We shut at 8:00. You'd look out and there's three blokes who've appeared and sat on the bench outside. So, you know, you're there for another hour or so. And I do miss that though.
Yes.
I think it's gone. Certainly where I am in London, it's done. We're finding people are working from home. They're wanting to nip out between Zoom meetings and that kind of stuff. So I'm pleased it's still existing.
Yeah.
I've always thought the barbershop queue's the most honest of all queues.
Yeah.
No one's ever managed to jump the queue in a barbershop.
No. Well, I've heard people say this as well on the show, since COVID.
Mm.
And, you know, since COVID, things have changed. Mm. Previously, before COVID, I had a speedboat in the harbour, used to have a few days off, had a great life down there. It was fantastic. But then since COVID, I'm back behind the chair 6 or 7 days a week sometimes if I'm short-staffed.
Yeah.
And I don't have a boat anymore because I need to be on the kit. So, you know, again, anybody listening, if you get some good staff and they stick around, have a day off.
Yeah.
Go and have some fun, because there's going to be a time as an owner when you haven't got staff and you're going to have to work very hard. So if you're fully staffed, buzz off and have a holiday and relax.
Well, I think that's a bit, I mean, I certainly hear that from barbershop owners, that you kind of think, oh, if I own the place, I can come and go as I please. Yeah. I can go on holiday when I fancy. And
it's not that way, is it?
The reality for, you know, for everyone that does do it, they find out fairly quickly that, you know, when the buck starts dropping, it falls at your feet. Very solid advice that, yeah, if you find you've got a staff full of shop full of staff, have a day off, get some sand under your toes.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Mate, thank you so much for coming up. I love to hear more and more about Man Down, so please keep me posted on that.
Yeah.
Is there any way people can get in touch and get involved with Man Down that you can share?
Yeah, well, if you just look up Man Down on Facebook and you'll see the business model we've got with that and how it works. And, you know, again, to any other barbershop owners, people in the industry, open your doors, get a little meeting going on once a month, once a fortnight. You know, put your hand in your pocket, buy some biscuits and tea, get people sitting around, customers, and, you know, put it all over your socials, what you're doing. Give a little bit back because, you know, it's a great industry. We take so much from it and you know, we have a great lifestyle from it sometimes. You know, give a little bit back because there's people out there in the community that will be very, very thankful for it.
Mm.
As I said, people working from home now don't see anybody. You know, people moving to a new area, if they don't drink, they don't go in a pub. If they go into a coffee bar, they sit there quiet like they're in a library. You know, your shop should be vibrant, exciting, and it should give back to the wider community around
and
you.
And does Man Down as a charity to support that? If someone wants to do it but has a no real idea as to how to start, they'll hold their hand and support them through
absolutely
their first event.
Yeah, we've got now meetings out of Cornwall. And as Ross Jackson Hicks said the other day, you know, every town, every meeting, we're going for it now as an organisation. So if you've got a barbershop, get in touch with Man Down. We'll talk you through it. We'll send somebody out. We'll give you the literature. And you can have a Man Down meeting in your barbershop in a town around the UK. That would be
amazing.
Fantastic.
And the amount of lives that, you know, without them even realising that you've saved, phenomenal. And the more we do that, the better. Huge shout out to Man Down. Thank you so much.
Thank you
really
so much.
Really appreciate your time
and
your journey. Thank you very much.
Keep punching.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.